people. There are about 2,600 people named in the Bible. Some of them are good people. Some of them are bad people. Some of them were successful, and others were total failures. Some started well and finished well. Some started well and ended poorly. Our story today takes us into the life of a man named Jehoshaphat. He was the king of Judah. Now we have Judah and Israel, and it gets very confusing if you don't work at keeping it straight. God's people had divided. There was two groups of them, one's called Israel and one's called Judah. They're all God's people. He, Jehoshaphat, was the king of Judah. He started well. He took his God-given responsibilities, but he finished very poorly. In fact, he finished among those who provoked the Lord to anger. His problem was he was making political decisions concerning spiritual things. For instance, he married his daughter to Ahab's son. Why did he do that? It was political. See, Israel and Judah were fighting each other all the time. Read the Old Testament accounts. Well, okay, if I give you my daughter, you're not going to come against me and we're not going to fight. So it was a political move that he would give Ahab's son his daughter to marry. Well, that's not a good idea. Besides, Ahab's married to Jezebel, who is the most wicked woman in the Bible. For his political decisions concerning spiritual things, Jehoshaphat paid, and he paid dearly. He lost his power with God. And by the time we get to the end of the chapter, which we didn't read all of the chapter, Jehoshaphat is dead. Another key player in this story is Ahab. Ahab, of course, is the king of Israel. He started out bad, and he ended bad. He was very wicked. In fact, the first mention of him is in 1 Kings 16 and 30. It says, Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. There was none so wicked as Ahab. The chapter also ends, as we have read here, he is dead. We also have in this story 400 what I call no-name prophets. They're generic. They are no name. God doesn't tell us any of their names. They are Ahab's puppets. The dictionary says a puppet is a person under the control of another person. Now, you have puppets, toy puppets, but referring to people, you're a puppet if you're under the control of another person. Well, they all were. God warned us in Isaiah 8 and 20, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. He warned in Jeremiah 23 and 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. In Jeremiah 23 and 21, he said, I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name. Jeremiah 29 and 9 says, they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. And we could look at a lot more verses that talk about false prophets. There's 400 of them in this story. Then we have the key player in this whole story, and his name is Micaiah. He is God's faithful prophet. It is interesting to note the timeline in the Old Testament, if you look at it. At this particular period of time, in that area, there was only two prophets that were preaching truth. One was one who we know a lot about. His name is Elijah. The other one was Micaiah, and if I had asked you to name off the prophets in the Old Testament, I am almost sure nobody would have mentioned his name. He is an insignificant nobody laying in Ahab's prison. Well, he's in the minority, and the minority are commonly discriminated against. He is outnumbered 400 to 1. There's several others mentioned in this story. In verse 9, there's an officer. In verse 11, and again in verse 24, there's a man named Zedekiah. In verse 34, it talks about a certain man. And in verse 40, it talks about Ahab's son, Ahaziah. There are many, many interesting and up-to-date lessons in this chapter. Life consists of people. We're looking at some of them in this chapter. Life consists of places. Also, it consists of the providence of God. You will find the phrase, "it came to pass," 453 times in the Bible. It came to pass. That is, it is the providence of God. Things that happen in our lives don't just happen. It comes to pass. "It came to pass" is found 40 times in the book of 1 Kings alone. So we have people, we have places, we have the providence of God. My whole life and yours have been wrapped around those things. Whether we take notice of it or not, is very important that we should take notice of it. Not only people and places and the providence of God, but the plan of God. Everyone is supposed to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. That's our main purpose in being on this earth after we're saved, so we can do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Now let's look at the chapter. Verse number 1 and 2. "Came, and they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel." Now, Syria, 3 years earlier, had been fighting with Israel, and they had captured Ramoth-Gilead. And the king wanted to go and get it back. We see that in this story. Well, it came to pass. It came to pass. In the 3rd year... where they had had peace for 3 years, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat came down to visit with Ahab. Now, why did he do that? Well, it would seem that he's just coming for a visit. After all, he may want to visit with his daughter, who is married to the king's son. Jehoshaphat, remember, was a good king. But it says here in this verse that Jehoshaphat came down. He came down. What we have in this story is a good man with a bad friend. A good man with a bad friend. Ahab was wicked. He was married to the most wicked woman in the world that is recorded in the Bible. And they had a very wicked son. Not the kind of person that should be the friend of Jehoshaphat. Verse 3 says, "And the king of Israel said unto his servants," that is Ahab, "said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours, and we be still and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria." He's talking to his counselors, and he's saying, "Man, we better go back and get Ramoth back. It belongs to us. Let's go get it." Verse 4 said, "And he said unto Jehoshaphat," who, remember, had just shown up, "Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth-Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses." This is the most ridiculous, stupid statement that is recorded by Jehoshaphat in the Word of God. And he made some really stupid mistakes here and some stupid statements. "I am as thou art." This proves that fact that I have said a couple of hundred times in the last few years. We become like who we run with. Jehoshaphat was a good man with a bad friend. And he says, I am as thou art, as he is. 1 Kings 16 and 33 says, Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Jehoshaphat said, I am as thou art. Ahab was married to the worst example of a woman found in the Word of God. She was wicked. She was a Baal worshiper. She was headstrong, self-willed, domineering wretch. She was a wicked, wicked woman. She's married to a morally weak husband who would let her have anything that she wanted. Ahab built his wicked wife a house for Baal beside the palace in Samaria. He erected an idol to the fertility goddess that Jezebel promoted. He allowed Jezebel to bring among God's people 450 prophets of Baal, and allowed Jezebel to bring in amongst God's people another 400 prophets of Ashtaroth. She housed them in the palace and fed them in a royal style. Their duties would have been to promote the worship of Baal and Ashtaroth among the people of God. Jezebel, the stubborn, headstrong, self-willed wife, brought tragedy to Israel for many, many years. And this guy comes along and says, well, I am as thou art. I am as thou art. Ahab built a second palace in Jezreel about 25 miles to the north. And it was there that Ahab decided he wanted Naboth's vineyard, which was right next to his palace. Naboth didn't want to sell it because if he had sold it, he would have broken the law of God in doing so in Leviticus 25 and 23. Ahab came and home and laid on his bed and sulked like a little child and turned his face toward the wall and wouldn't eat. He's a king. Jezebel found Ahab sulking. So Jezebel had Naboth stoned to death so her little wimpy husband could have his vineyard. And Jehoshaphat says, well, I am as thou art. I am as thou art. God said, but there was none like unto Ahab which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, had stirred up. He was a henpecked, immoral idiot. And Jehoshaphat says, I am as thou art. And then he says, my people are thy people. When God appointed people fail in their God-given responsibilities, they bring other people down with them. Learn that lesson. Okay? We all have different responsibilities. Fathers, mothers, pastors, whatever. When we fail to do our God-given responsibilities, we come down and we bring other people down with us. Jehoshaphat came down and the people of God came down with him. Then he said, my horses are thy horses. My horses are thy horses. Their horses were instruments of battle used against an enemy. In recent years, 50, 60, 70 years, very, very godly people have poured millions and millions of dollars into church buildings because they wanted to do something for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, those church buildings, for the most part, in this age of apostasy, are being used to promote the ways of the devil because pastors were compromising with compromisers. That is wicked. My horses are as thy horses. My equipment's as your equipment. My people are like your people. I am as thou art. This wicked philosophy has flooded our churches in recent years. Music. Good people with bad friends. That's how the music has gone wrong. People are influenced. You become like who you run with. And if you're being influenced by people with bad music, you're going to have bad music. And now CCM trash is infiltrating our churches in the last 2 or 3 years like it has never done before. Standards. Good people with bad friends have brought standards down. Our association, our separation. I mentioned before that I have been in 8 of the 10 churches that were written up in Elmer Towne's book on the fastest growing Sunday schools in America that was written in 1969. I've been in 8 of the 10. I wouldn't send a dog to 8 of those 10 now. They are just rock and roll fest. I have no respect for those places whatsoever. In recent years, this philosophy, I am as thou art, my people are thy people, my horses as thy horses, this philosophy has flooded what we call fundamental churches. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Is it any wonder Jehoshaphat's dead by the end of the chapter? When a man of God begins to compromise, God is no more use for him in this world. In fact, he's better off out of the world if he's going to compromise. So when Ahab asked, will thou go to battle with me? Jehoshaphat's answer should have been, absolutely not. We have nothing to do with you. But then he shouldn't have been down there fellowshipping with him in the first place. And he shouldn't have given his daughter into that mess. See, what happens is we refuse to learn. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. They happen for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the end of the world is come. That's where we are now. That's the age we're living in. This is an example for us. What we called fundamentalism even 10 years ago and what is called fundamentalism today has very, very little in common. And the reason for the crumbling of our foundations is the unscriptural association of fundamental leaders today with people they should not be associating with. And I want you to understand carefully what I just said. Let me say it again. The reason for the crumbling of our foundations. I'm not preaching as one who's pointing a finger over there. I'm talking about us who are supposed to be standing true to the Word of God. And we're trying to do that here. But let us not get self-righteous about we're close to God and they're not. What we need here and there is simply revival. And revival comes when we repent. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and I'll heal this land. So we're just as much in need of revival as any one of these Jehoshaphat followers. Let us not take this wrong. But when we start to compromise with the wrong people, we become compromisers. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The dictionary says manners are a way in which things are done. What manner are you doing it? It's changed a lot in the last few years. Verse 5, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel. Now, Jehoshaphat is talking to Ahab. Both of these are in the Bible as God's people. They're both Jews. You got Israel and Judah. And Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, said unto Ahab, king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Can you imagine anything as stupid as that statement? He is talking to Ahab, who Jehoshaphat knows perfectly well, has 450 false prophets in this group, and another 400 over here, false prophets. He hasn't got anybody who's going to tell him the truth except Micaiah, and he's in jail because he's telling the truth. And Jehoshaphat comes and says, well, let's inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord. Neither of these men were on talking terms with God. The only thing either one of them could do at this point was repent. That's all they could do that God would listen to. He wouldn't listen to them at all. Verse 6. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. The Lord. The audacity of these false prophets to use the name of the Lord when they didn't have anything to do with him. But what's going on? Well, you see, we have to look good in the eyes of the people. We have to say and we have to do what will look good in the eyes of all of Israel. And not only that, we have to appease the people. So we got to have this religious front. And that's what we have here, this religious front. Oh, let's pray. with a bunch of deadhead prophets that don't even know God. That doesn't matter. People won't know that. Let's just pray. Let's just bamboozle all the people so they keep putting their money in the offering plate. Verse 7. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? What is that? I'll tell you what it is. It's a compromiser trying to sound fundamental. This guy's a compromiser. But he's trying to sound fundamental. Well, now that we have already predetermined what we're going to do, maybe we should ask God. It's backwards. A lot of Christians do that. Get their plan, go ahead, and then ask God to help them out of the mess they get into after they go ahead. Oh, maybe we should check with God. All Jehoshaphat is doing is attempting to get God to line up with his will. This is what I want to do. This is what I've done. I've given my daughter. We're all family members now. Never mind the truth. Verse 8. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. There is yet one man. We got one man, and we got a movement. Okay, a man and a movement. There is nothing in the Bible about a movement. Okay, what God uses is men. Whether that's fathers in the home, whether that's husbands in the home, whether that's pastors in the church, we all have a responsibility. But, oh no, see, lately, in the last 100 years, we have dumped that. We say, well, forget that. Let's get a movement. We called it the fundamental movement. What a mess we're in with that. There is yet one man. Now, Micaiah is outnumbered 400 to 1, and as I said, another 450 prophets standing in the sidelines. When we get into an age of apostasy, as we are today, mark it down, there's always only going to be a very few genuine prophets. They are going to be few in number. In this case, outnumbered really 850 to 1. That is why there is an apostasy. The only reason we get into apostasy is guys like Jehoshaphat compromising with people like Ahab, and the people, as I said, thy people are my people. They follow right in line with these middle-of-the-road, mugwump, pussyfooting pastors who call themselves fundamental, who are associating with the wrong people. That's why we have apostasy. If pastors who just preach the truth, people would line up a lot better than they're doing today. Verse 8. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. Now that's a very important phrase. The phrase, the son of, occurs 1,448 times in the Word of God. It is found 73 times in the book of 1 Kings and 8 times in this chapter. Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And then down in verse 11, you've got Zedekiah, the son of Shenah. And again in verse 24. Now what we have here is very important, that God, whether the father does a good job on raising his children or not, whether he does a good job or whether he does a bad job, God says, I want you to know 1,448 times who the father of this guy was. What do we know about Imlah? What do we know about this fellow, Shenana? Nothing except they both raised children. One did a good job and one did a very bad job. Micaiah, finding and doing what is acceptable unto the Lord. Zedekiah, a leader of the opposition, slapping God's prophet in the face. These, when God takes and settles this whole thing, and we stand before God someday, Every one of those fathers that are mentioned 1,448 times, and every one of us who are fathers, we are going to stand in front of God and give an account whether we raise someone who wanted to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord, or whether we raise someone like Zedekiah. We're going to answer for that. Good or evil. God always wants us to know who the father was. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4, and ye fathers, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's father's responsibility. Well, he said there's one, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. We can acquire the Lord of him, but I hate him. I hate him, Ahab said. You can tell what a person is by who his enemies are. Let me say that again. You can tell what a person is by who his enemies are. Jesus said in John chapter 15, they hated me, they'll hate you. They hated me, they'll hate Micaiah. They hated me, they'll hate Bob Kirkland. If they don't hate you, you're doing something wrong. Now you don't have to go out there and start picking a battle with anybody. All you got to do is promote God and his plan, promote Jesus Christ, and they will hate you. They'll hate you. They have for many, many years. He said, I hate him. I hate him. Well, should be careful about that. Psalm chapter 89, verse 20 through 23 says, God said, I have my servant. I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm shall also strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. God will take care of those who hate people, who hate people for no other reason than loving Jesus Christ. He said, I'll take care of those people. I'll take any will. And so he says, I hate him, for he doth prophesy good. He doth not prophesy good concerning me. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. What a wimpy answer. He should have said, you wicked, despicable excuse for a leader of Israel. You make me sick. That's what he should have said. Oh, let not the king say so. Instead, he lines up with this wicked king against Micaiah. The king of Israel called an officer, verse 9, and said, hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat chose to be friends with Ahab rather than Micaiah. And you can tell what a man is by who his friends are, too, and who his enemies are. Verse 10, and the king of Israel, Ahab, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. Two compromisers holding a national meeting. Get all these guys together, get all the prophets together, let's have a national meeting. Jehoshaphat is in blatant disobedience to God. He should not have been sitting on a throne beside Ahab. He should have been sitting in a prison with Micaiah saying, buddy, I'm with you. They sat together, it says here, in a void place. The dictionary says void is not valid or legally binding, ineffectual and useless. That is describing exactly what these two leaders are doing. And it describes much of what is going on in our national meetings today, too. Years ago, they started this Promise Keepers. And then they got together and they're having these big crowds. They gave you a whole list of things you couldn't preach on because you might get somebody upset. Well, verse 12, and Zedekiah, the son of Shana, he's obviously the keynote speaker in this big meeting, made him horns of iron. And he said, thus saith the Lord, with thee shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied, so saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead, and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand, into the king's hand. So here we have Shemaiah's misfit son named Zedekiah. He has turned out to be a leader of the opposition. He is a leader of the enemies of God, and he has the gall to say, "Thus saith the Lord." There's a lot of false prophets running around saying a lot of false things today, saying the Lord has said it when he hasn't spoken it at all. Now we get to verse 13, we have a messenger. His name's not given. The unnamed messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, "Behold, now the word of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good." Boy, he sounds like a lot of messengers in our fundamental movement today who accuse faithful leaders of God of causing division. So this messenger comes and he says to Micaiah, "Now just tone it down, buddy. All you got to do is go along. Don't get Ahab upset." Yeah. Micaiah said in verse 14, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." Yeah, that's how he ended up in prison. When I was 14 years old, I was asked to preach in the church we went to in the Sunday evening service. It would have been a church of about 200 people. I hadn't been saved very long. I was saved when I was just about 13. And I got studying and studying and studying. And as I told you before, I devoured books by M.R. DeHaan. Used to listen to his radio broadcast every week. And got very, very interested in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Read everything I could get my hands on that subject. So when they asked me if I would preach in the Sunday evening service, well, young 14-year-old, 200 people out there, I said, "Well, yeah, I would love to do that." So I preached a message on the return of Jesus Christ. Now, you understand, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming back. Then there's going to be a 7-year tribulation period. Then there's going to be a 1,000 years of peace on earth. Anybody who studies the Bible rightly dividing the Word of God will have to come up with that conclusion. Well, not everybody does that. And there are some people who say, now, what I just explained to you is called premillennialism. That means before the millennium, we are going to be raptured out of the world. Okay. Now, there's another group, and they are called amillennialists. A means no, millennium. There isn't going to be a millennium. That's something you're supposed to take and figuratively pretend it's something else other than what it says. I did not know, as a 14-year-old boy in this church, that I was speaking to an all-millennial church. I didn't know. And so I got up there and I preached this whole sermon about Jesus coming back before the millennium. And then I preached about the millennium and the 1,000 years and all this, totally against what this church said they believed. Well, sometime later, a few months later, one of the deacons of that church came to me and asked me if I would preach again. I said, "Sure, like to." But he said, "We don't want anything controversial like the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're going to find something more general to preach on." As a 14-year-old boy, I looked at that deacon and said, "Sir, nobody but God will tell me what to speak on. Nobody." I hope I wasn't rude to my elders, but no deacon, I specifically said that, no deacon will tell me what to speak on. If I'm going to preach, I'll get my message from God. I had that figured out when I was 14. I don't know how come people can't get that figured out. Well, verse 15, so he came to the king, Micaiah did. And the king said unto Micaiah, "Shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear?" And he answered him, "Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." Now what's he doing here? He is mocking exactly what the false prophet said in verse 6. He is sarcastically saying, Well, go prosper. Why don't you just run up there and get yourself killed? And the king said unto him, how many times have I adjured thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? This prophet couldn't do anything right in the eyes of the king. And he said, Micaiah said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. Now he said, here's what you need to do. Cancel your plans. Send these men all home because they're going to be scattered if you don't. 18, and the king of Israel, Ahab, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? That's about as stupid as going to the doctor, and the doctor says, you have cancer, but if we do this, this, and this, and this, we can fix it. Well, I don't want to hear this evil. I tell you, tell me I don't have any problem. No, tell me the truth, which Micaiah ended up in jail for doing. Now, in verses 17 to 23, we have a very, very interesting Old Testament parable. This is a parable that he is using to teach a lesson. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said in this manner, and another in the other manner. There came forth a spirit that stood before the Lord, said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? He said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also, go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil things concerning thee. Well, Zedekiah comes back on the scene. This fella, Shenanah, has raised a stupid son. What'd he do? He went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Now, in Eastern cultures, many times the mode of smiting someone on the face like that was with a shoe. It is both severe and done against someone who they think deserves public disgrace or shame. I remember a few years back, somebody took their shoe off and threw it at George W. Bush. That's what that was. That was to insult him, saying, you are a disgrace and you're shameful. That's probably what happened here. Verse 25, Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. When you're talking about going into an inner chamber, they're always like running for your life from an enemy. Well, we'll end here for now at verse 26. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back into Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and with the water of affliction until I come in peace. Put him in jail and persecute him. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. Now Micaiah stands up, and there's all of these 400 prophets, and there's thousands of people there. They're in a void place. What that really means is they're in a big space. There's nothing there. They got room to have a great big crowd of people. And Micaiah says, I want every one of you to hear me. They're not coming back. They're not coming back. Well, how does it turn out? I'll read one more verse here. King of Israel, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. Yeah, you become like who you run with. Instead of Jehoshaphat standing true. And by the way, Jehoshaphat, as we'll see by the time we get to the end of this chapter, Jehoshaphat started out as one of God's best men. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. What happened to them? He was a good man with a bad friend. I have tried and tried and tried to promote that ever since I've been in this church. You become like who you associate with, and so will I. So will I. Jehoshaphat was a good man. He ended badly, and died a disgrace amongst those who provoked the anger of God because he was among them and he became like them. I am as thou art. My people are thy people. My horses are your horses. Let's all just get together for the cause. No. No, you don't do that. One of the biggest issues, that we have today, there's two that I think are the greatest issues that we are facing today. One of them is this so-called common salvation where you just pray a prayer and there's no repentance necessary. That's a major issue. The other issue is separation. Separation. I was talking to someone again just this week and we were talking about CCM music and whether churches shouldn't be using it or not. And I said, it's not a case of whether or not the song is right or wrong. We could argue about that till the Lord comes back on some of those nice songs. It's a case of separation. You cannot pay those CCM people who are promoting trash. You cannot pay them copyright money and be separate from them at the same time. It's a separation issue. Now, it's also a music issue. It is a music issue, and that's very important. I'm not playing that down. It is a music issue. But unless you've had a degree in music, you may never understand that or read a lot of books on it. But it is anybody can understand it from a separation issue. And so we have this new common salvation where people are praying prayers, joining churches, no repentance and no forgiveness, because there can be no forgiveness without repentance, singing the songs on the road to hell. You see, that is why 95% of the people in our fundamental independent Baptist churches do nothing for God. You can't be on fire for God and not want to, I don't care to do anything for God. You can't. No, sir. You can't do it. So we're filling our churches with unsaved people who've prayed a prayer and really think they're going to heaven when they die. That's a major issue. And the other major issue, if I see as the two most important ones, and we have others, is the issue of separation. And we're into this mess because people, pastors, leaders, in parachurch ministries especially, have been associating with these people over here saying, oh, my people are your people. We all believe in Jesus, so let's get together. And that's how someone from, like Billy Graham in 1948, can say that the Catholics are one of the three gravest menaces to Christianity. That's how he can go from that to 1954 when he took an honorary degree from the Catholic Church and now promotes them all the time. No different than Jehoshaphat. No different at all. And neither will I be. You run with the wrong people, you're going to be like them. It's just a Bible principle. Lord, help us to realize that if we run with the wrong people, we are seriously going to pay the price. Help us to stand true and be separated in a manner in which we need to be in this confusing age of apostasy. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.